ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भगवद गीता चैप्टर 17 टेक्स्ट नंबर 11 12 एंड 13 टेक्स्ट नंबर 11 अफलाकांक्षिभिर्यज्ञो विधिदिष्टो य इज्यते यस्तव्यं मिवेति मनः समाधाय ससात्विकः। ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन ऑफ सैक्रिफाइसेस। The sacrifice performed according to the directions of scripture as a matter of duty by those who desire no reward is of the nature of goodness. Purport. The general tendency is to offer sacrifice with some purpose in mind. But here it is stated that sacrifice should be performed without any such desire. It should be done as a matter of duty. Take, for example, the performance of rituals in temples or in churches. Generally, they are performed with the purpose of material benefit, but that is not in the mode of goodness. One should go to a temple or church as a matter of duty, offer respect to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and offer flowers and eatables. Everyone thinks that there is no use in going to the temple just to worship God. But worship for economic benefit is not recommended in the scriptural injunctions. One should go simply to offer respect to the deity. That will place one in the mode of goodness. It is the duty of every civilized man to obey the injunctions of the scriptures and offer respect to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text number 12, translation. But the sacrifice performed for some material benefit or for the sake of pride, O chief of the Bharatas, you should know that to be in the mode of passion. It's a small purport. Sometimes sacrifices and rituals are performed for elevation to the heavenly kingdom or for some material benefits in this world. Such sacrifices or ritualistic performances are considered to be in the mode of passion. Text number 13. Any sacrifice performed without regard for directions of scripture, without distribution of prasadam, spiritual food, without chanting of Vedic hymns and remunerations to the priests, and without faith is considered to be in the mode of ignorance. Purport. Faith in the mode of darkness or ignorance is actually faithlessness. Sometimes people worship some demigod just to make money and then spend the money for recreation, ignoring the scriptural injunctions. Such ceremonial shows of religiosity are not accepted as genuine. They are all in the mode of darkness. They produce a demonic mentality and do not benefit human society. So, here we see that Srimad Bhagavad Gita is the ultimate book of knowledge. It has got all the details like that concern our human form of life. Just like if we go to a market and if we purchase some commodity, just like some refrigerator or some air conditioner or something like that, what comes along with that commodity is a manual. And that manual has all the details of that commodity, that, like how this commodity can be maintained for a longer period of time. How can we nicely take care of it? How can we get the maximum performance out of it? What to do when something goes wrong with this thing? So every detail is mentioned. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavad Gita is like a manual for human form of life. For all human beings, regardless of caste, creed, nationality, sex, everything, regardless of all these things, this Bhagavad Gita is meant for everyone, and if we go through it, we'll find that all our questions concerning our life are answered here. So it's because it's like a manual for human form of life, so we can get information from Bhagavad Gita like how to make proper use of this human form of life, which is so rare. What to do when something goes wrong in our lives. Everything is mentioned. Just like this chapter, which is entitled chapter number 17, Divisions of Faith. So when we study this, we'll find out that it will give answers to our various questions like why people behave in different manners, in different ways. Just like there may be a particular situation when, and we'll find that different people will behave in different manners. They'll respond in different ways to that situation. So why is that? So all these questions are answered in this chapter. So in chapter number 14, text number 4, Krishna tells Arjuna that sarva yonishu kaunteya murtayah sambhavantiyah tasham brahma mahad yonir aham bija pradapitah. That it should be understood that all species of life. So here Krishna is talking about all species of life, human beings and animals and everything, trees, everything. So he says that all species of life are made possible by birth in the material nature, and that I am the seed-giving father. So Krishna is declaring that he is the father of all the species of life. In the next verse he says, Sattvam rajastamaiti gunah prakriti sambhavah nibdhananti mahabaho dehe dehinam avyayam. So he says, material nature consists of three modes, goodness, passion and ignorance. When the eternal living entity, that means we, come in contact with nature, when the eternal living entity comes in contact with nature, O mighty armed Arjuna, he becomes conditioned by these three modes. So this is the answer actually why different people behave in different ways. Because as soon as a living entity comes into this material world, he immediately comes in under the influence of either of these three modes, either he comes under the influence of goodness or passion or ignorance, or either the combination of mode of goodness and passion, or passion and ignorance. Since the living entity is totally under the influence of the material modes of nature, so whatever activity he performs will automatically be influenced by these three modes. And all these three modes are material. They are being utilized by material energy, material nature, to keep us bound to this material world. So these three modes are always affecting all of our activities, our thoughts, our words, our actions, everything. This chapter 17th begins with Arjuna asking Krishna this question, that there are various kinds of people. So he asks, O Krishna, what is the situation of those who do not follow the principles of scripture, but worship according to their own imagination? Are they in goodness, in passion, or in ignorance? So basically, he is asking that because in 4th chapter, 39th verse, Krishna is telling Arjuna that those who are faithful to a particular type of worship, they are gradually elevated to the highest perfectional stage of life. They gradually achieve perfect knowledge. So Arjuna is asking then, what is the fate of those people who actually follow, who perform some kind of worship according to their own imagination and not following the scriptural injunctions? And Prabhupada is elaborating in the purport that Arjuna is basically asking that what about those people, just like we see today also, today is much more prevalent that people select a human being and they start worshipping him as God. So Arjuna is asking, what is the fate of those kind of people? And various other, and Krishna starts replying from the second verse, and he talks about various things like worship in different modes. That worship is also of three types. Either it's either in the mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance. Food we eat, that is also influenced by three modes. Sacrifices we perform. So that is also, the individual perform a particular sacrifice according to the mode he is influenced by. Then Krishna talks of three types of penances. Penances in the mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance. Then charity. So everything is being influenced by the material modes of nature. Just like charity, if we can speak, people give charity. So that is not the end. That doesn't bring piety, that doesn't free oneself from the bondage of cycle of birth and death. Just like if someone gives charity, it has to be unmotivated. We should not be expecting anything in return. That is called charity in the mode of goodness. And if someone gives charity, even if to a temple, someone gives charity, and then if he expects that this charity has to be utilized in the way he thinks, in the way he wants it to be utilized, that means he's still attached to it. He's expecting something from that charity. Therefore, that charity is not proper. That charity is considered in the mode of passion. Similarly, there is charity in the mode of ignorance also. So today we are focusing on different types of sacrifices in different modes. So sacrifice basically, it means yajna, and another name, it's called Vishnu. Vishnu is called yajna. So Krishna says in chapter number 3, verse number 9, that yajyarthat karmano nyatra lokoyam karma bandhanah, that sacrifices have to be performed. And they have to be performed for the satisfaction of Vishnu or Krishna. They are the same personalities. So sacrifices have always the sacrifices have to be performed because and for the satisfaction of Vishnu, because otherwise any kind of work we perform, it causes bondage to this body, to this material world, to karma, and to the various miseries of material world. Because Krishna, when this creation takes place, when the living entities are created, along with the living entities, Krishna, the demigods also come. They are also living entities like us only, but situated in a much higher consciousness and in much higher planets. So these demigods, 33 crore demigods, Krishna makes an arrangement that living entities are theirs in the material world. So they will have some material necessities. They will need food, shelter, water, everything. So Krishna makes an arrangement that these 33 crore demigods are put in charge of these basic necessities of life. In fact, each and every part of our body is being governed by a particular demigod. Even if we want to blink our eye, it can't happen without a sanction of that particular demigod. There is some particular demigod who is overseeing the movement of our bodily limbs also. Srimad Bhagavatam mentions the names of those particular demigods governing the various limbs of our body. So Krishna makes an arrangement that these 33 crore demigods will take care of the basic necessities of life of the jivas, of all of us. And in turn, as a reciprocation, as a gesture of their gratefulness, the living entities have to perform yajnas. And when the yajnas are performed, the demigods get their share from the yagyas, and this way, and in this way the reciprocation goes on, the life goes on. But ultimately, the ultimate beneficiary Krishna himself declares is that he is the ultimate beneficiary of all the yagyas. Bhuktaram yagya tapsam sarvaloka maheshwaram, that he is the ultimate beneficiary of all the benefits derived from the sacrifices. So one may ask, then if Krishna is the ultimate beneficiary of all of the results derived from the sacrifices, then why are the demigods there in between Krishna and the jiva? Why not directly perform sacrifice for the pleasure of Krishna directly? Why perform it for the pleasure of demigods? So the answer is, yes, this is recommended and this is required actually. That sacrifice has to be performed only for the pleasure of Krishna, only for the satisfaction of Krishna. But because there are very few living entities who actually accept the authority of Krishna. Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita that manushyanam sahasreshu kaschit yatadi siddhaye. Then there is one more verse, vasudeha sarvam iti sa mahatma sudurlava. That one who knows me is everything, that soul is very rare. So there are very few people who directly accept the authority of Krishna, who accept Krishna as God. So therefore, because Krishna is very, very compassionate and he's always thinking about how to bring all the living entities back to the spiritual world, back to their original home, therefore he introduced this system in between himself and the jivas, that okay, if they are not accepting my authority, at least that system, those sacrifices, ritualistic performances, he gave in the Vedas. So Vedas, we will find that they may not directly deal with Krishna, whereas the intelligent class of man can understand that ultimately everything is meant for the satisfaction of Krishna. So Vedas, the Vedas are full of karma kand, because they are meant for a different class of people who do not understand Krishna, who do not accept Krishna's authority, and who want some material benefits. That is their priority. That is a priority in their minds. So therefore, since the material results are the priority in the minds of these devotees, so in these people, so therefore Krishna has given this system of sacrifices in the Vedas. So okay, if you want some material benefit, then you can perform this kind of sacrifice to this demigod, to this demigod, to this demigod. So what happens by this system is, so people who are not accepting any authority, because they are expecting some material benefit, and they are looking for the process, means easy process to get that benefit. So the processes are given in the Vedas, so they take to Vedas and they perform ritualistic sacrifices to please these demigods, and in this way they gradually accept at least some authority. And this rituals in the Vedas are given in such a way that whoever performs them according to the injunctions mentioned in the Vedas, he'll ultimately and gradually he'll come to the stage of accepting Krishna as the supreme. So this is Krishna's trick actually. Sometimes people may ask that, okay, prove Krishna's authority, how Krishna is God according to the Vedas. You may not be able to, because that is not the purpose of the Vedas. The Vedas are meant for a different class of people, the less intelligent. Krishna says that those who worship demigods, they are less intelligent. And neither Krishna nor the devotees of Krishna, they are demeaning demigods when they say that those who worship demigods are less intelligent. But this is the actual position of the demigods. They are the servants of Krishna. And when they are worshipped in connection with Krishna, then they are happy. So that is how this system of sacrifices has been designed and sacrifices have to be there. So very, very important point to understand is we must take note of what we are doing, because nowadays there are so many religious festivals that have come up, but they are not mentioned in any of the scriptures. And people, rather than giving enjoyment to the deity of that festival, they enjoy themselves. And Prabhupada mentions that sometimes the money is collected in these festivals and people utilize that money for their own sense enjoyment. So that is called mode of ignorance. Sacrifices in the mode of ignorance. Therefore, we have to be very, very careful and understand the purpose of what we are doing. Because blind faith in a process that looks religious is very dangerous. It may look religious, but what is the substance behind that kind of religious process? Therefore, we have to be very, very careful in general, and in Kali Yuga particularly, we have to be very, very careful, because Kali Yuga is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy, exploitation, cheating. And if we are not careful, then the law of supply and demand will work. Law of supply and demand is that whenever there is demand, supply comes. So if people want to be cheated, the cheaters will come and they will cheat them. Therefore, we are very, very fortunate that we can avoid this, avoid ourselves from being cheated by the cheaters by taking shelter, by taking help of the scriptures. Scriptures clearly mention. It's like talking about Vedas, that sometimes people say Vedas are the ultimate. Even Vyasadeva, Srila Vyasadeva, he was the one who compiled all the Vedas. He put all the karmakanda in the Vedas. But he was not satisfied. So then Narad Muni had to come, his spiritual master, and Narad Muni chastised him. He rebuked him. He ridiculed him. That why are you not feeling happy by bringing people to the point of bodily conception of life? He chastised him in many ways. Then he told him to write Srimad Bhagavatam, that only glorifies Krishna and rejects, actually strips away all the cheating religions. Srimad Bhagavatam is purely glorification of Krishna. And after that, Vyasadeva felt satisfied. Similarly, the karmakanda mentioned in the Vedas, the various ritualistic processes mentioned in the Vedas, even if someone, the danger in Kali Yuga is, even if someone is following these rituals very, very strictly and according to the injunctions, because of the influence of Kali Yuga, one may get caught up in these rituals only, and the benefits derived from these sacrifices, and he may lose sight of the ultimate goal, that the purpose of performing these rituals is to please Krishna. So one may forget. So when someone performs rituals, he may get back the reward, and he becomes happy. So in that happiness, he may lose the sight of his goal, that is pleasure of Krishna. So therefore, very, very great care is needed. And Kali Yuga being the age of quarrel and hypocrisy, but there is one good quality that just like in previous Yuga, sacrifices when performed were performed by very, very expert Brahmans who could chant the mantras in proper meters, who could light the fire with the power of the mantras. And there lots of ingredients were required. There was huge prasadam distribution, so the expenses were very high. But in Kali Yuga, there are no qualified Brahmans, and the expenses no one can bear. Therefore, Krishna, who has actually given all this process of sacrifice in the Vedas, but he personally came that even in Bhagavad Gita himself, he says, after speaking about all these sacrifices in the mode of passion, goodness, ignorance, everything, in chapter 18, Krishna says, tells Arjuna that forget everything and just surrender unto me. So he is also recommending that directly surrendering to Krishna, directly taking to Krishna consciousness is much better. Those who cannot take directly to Krishna consciousness, for them Vedas are there, but those who are directly taken to Krishna consciousness, no need of Vedas. The purpose is served. Ultimately, they have come to Krishna. So, the independent demigod worship is never recommended. Sacrifices performed for the demigods, we should be keeping in mind that it's only for the pleasure, ultimate pleasure of Krishna. So, whenever we are worshipping any demigods, the proper way to worship them is to worship them as servants of Krishna. That way they'll be happy, and we'll be happy, and Krishna will be happy. In Srimad Bhagavatam, the episode comes when Dhruva Maharaj, his brother was killed by one of the yakshas. That means one of the followers of Kuvera. Kuvera is a demigod, and he is a treasurer of the demigods. He has a big post. He is very rich. So when Dhruva Maharaj heard this, that his brother had been killed by a yaksha, he went on a rampage and he went to the valley of the yakshas and he started killing them indiscriminately. So finally, he had to be stopped. By his great-grandfathers, by his ancestors. And then Kuvera also appeared very pleased. And Kuvera actually appeared in front of Dhruva Maharaj. And he told him to ask for some benediction. So Dhruva Maharaj asked continuous remembrance of Krishna, devotional service to Krishna. So hearing that, it is mentioned that Kuvera became very happy. If Dhruva Maharaj had asked something else, then Kuvera might not have been so happy. But because he identifies himself as the servant of Krishna, so when Dhruva Maharaj asked for devotional service to his master, he became very, very pleased and he profusely blessed Dhruva Maharaj. So this is the proper way to approach demigods and perform sacrifices. But the sacrifices, as I mentioned, the way they were performed in the previous yugas, that is not possible in Kali Yuga. Therefore, Krishna, because he's always thinking about the welfare of the living entities, therefore he gives many scriptures, he sends his representatives, and he comes himself also. Therefore, he comes in Kali Yuga. 5,000 years back, he spoke Bhagavad Gita. And in 500 years back, he again appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he gave the sacrifice that is recommended for Kali Yuga. The only sacrifice recommended for Kali Yuga, the only yagya recommended for Kali Yuga is Sankirtan Yagya, that is chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this is the only sacrifice recommended. So whatever benefits that could be derived in the previous yugas by performing elaborate pujas or doing meditation for thousands of years or performing elaborate deity worship, they can be derived easily by just chanting the holy names, this Maha Mantra, especially given in the scriptures. Someone may ask that why not Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya and this mantra and that mantra. But whenever we are diseased, we are recommended some medicine by the doctor. So we have to take the medicine according to the prescription of the doctor, according to the way doctor recommends. So the supreme doctor is Lord Krishna himself. So other mantras are also powerful, but for Kali Yuga especially, this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra has been given, and by whom? The Creator Himself, who has created all of us, Krishna, in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is mentioned in Sri Kali Santarana Upanishad also that this mantra is there. Narada Muni approaches Brahma, Lord Brahma, that what is the hope for the people of Kali Yuga? It is such a degraded age. So Brahma replied that these two lines, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That only if the people chant this Maha Mantra, then they will be delivered from all the evils of Kali Yuga. This Sankirtan process has been given by Krishna himself. This is not some imaginary process. So sacrifices, as I said, have to be performed. In different yugas, there were different ways. For Kali Yuga, the sacrifice recommended is Sankirtan Yajna. So, why we need to perform sacrifice? Because it is a way of reciprocation. So, because just like if someone gives us a glass of water, we say thank you. If someone gives us something else, we say thank you. Because we express our gratefulness. If we don't say thank you, that means we are ungrateful. That's the worst quality a person could have. Similarly, Krishna is giving us so much. There's such a nice arrangement in the cosmic manifestation there. Krishna is giving us so much oxygen. Just think for a moment, if the oxygen in this temple hall, it is sucked away by some pump, we'll start suffocating, we'll have to leave the place. Or maybe our bodies will die. Krishna is giving us so much water, so many rivers, rains. But all the situation today is different because people are not performing yajnas. There are no sacrifices being performed, so they're not having rains. It is mentioned that in the next 40 years, the entire North India will become a desert. River Yamuna, Ganges, they will disappear. That is a result of not performing sacrifices, not reciprocating with Krishna's system that he has made for us. When we say that from sacrifice, everything is, because in the previous yuga, sacrifice were performed. If someone wanted a sun, sacrifice were performed. If someone wanted rain, that system, that is still applicable today also. So the sacrifice is different. If we perform Harinam Sankirtan, everything can happen. There is a proof, like one of Srila Prabhupada's senior disciple, His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he was lecturing in some country, and that country was facing drought for many years. So he was lecturing on this topic of sacrifices, and he was saying that by performing from the sacrifices, rains come, everything he was explaining. So one of the person challenged that, you are saying that sacrifices produce rains, so can you produce rains with the sacrifice you are recommending? You are saying that the Sankirtan process, chanting of the holy names, is the recommended process of sacrifice for Kali Yuga. So can you bring rains? So Maharaj said, yes, if you all chant with me with full enthusiasm, then definitely rains will come. So the kirtan was performed for 2 hours continuously, intense kirtan. So that day nothing happened, but in the night the country received massive rainfall. So that is the power of faith in the process that Krishna has given us. Sacrifices have always to be performed as a way of saying thank you to Krishna for whatever he has given us. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Kali Yuga gives us this sacrifice. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So the way to reciprocate with him is to chant this Maha Mantra as much as possible, because this is the most potent way to actually satisfy Krishna, which is the purpose of sacrifices. So just like, I'll read some of the benefits, actually the glories of the holy name, that how this chanting of the holy name is so powerful. All the scriptures, they are actually full of glories of holy name, the Sankirtan process that has been given. Although this Kali Yuga, age of Kali Yuga is very degraded, at the same time the great sages and rishis, the demigods, they say that this is the best age. Why? Because first thing is, people have very short duration of life. So how is that good for the sages? Because in the previous yugas, it would take them thousands of years, sometimes 60,000 years of meditation to achieve the perfectional stage of life, to go back to Krishna. But in Kali Yuga, the life duration is short, maximum 100 years. That is reducing day by day. And secondly, in the previous yugas, they had to perform meditations for thousands of years, but in Kali Yuga, within the limited period of time, if they can perform this chanting of the holy names, then whatever benefits that they derived for by performing thousands of years of austerities and penances and meditations in the previous yugas, that can be derived simply by chanting the holy names. So this holy name is so powerful. Therefore, the great sages and rishis, it is mentioned, they say that this is the best age. In a very short time, we can attain perfection in the easiest manner. Because this holy name, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Naam Naam Akari Bahuda Nij Sarva Shakti Stattrar Pita Niyamita Smarne Nakala. That Krishna has invested all his powers, all his energies, all his potencies in the holy name. And at the same time, there are no hard and fast rules for chanting. So we can chant it any time, at any place, in any way. The process is, when we chant, we have to hear the sound vibration. So when we chant and hear the Maha Mantra, everything that we need will manifest in our lives. And ultimately we'll reach the perfectional stage of life. We'll go back to the spiritual world, which is the real home where there is no birth, no old age, no disease and no death. Where there is eternal blissful life. It's mentioned that in the spiritual world, in the planet of Krishna, every movement is like dancing and every moment there is a festival going on. There is not a single, means there is not even a minute trace of unhappiness in the spiritual world. Vaikuntha is without kunta, without misery. So these are the few of the glories of the holy name, just to encourage us ourselves to chant the holy name, because simply by chanting, no other process is required. Simply by chanting the holy name, everything can be achieved in our life. The scriptures mention that whether chanted correctly or incorrectly, knowingly or unknowingly, carefully or carelessly, the all-powerful name of Krishna will always give results. Just like there was one Brahman named Ajamil in Srimad Bhagavatam, this episode comes. He was a Brahman, but he fell down, he married a prostitute, and he became a dacoit, and he became very sinful. So he had many children, and the youngest child he named Narayana. So, but because he had performed so many sins, when the time came for him to die, to leave his body, he saw three Yamadutas came to take him away. And they were looking very ferocious, very fearful. So it's a general tendency that whenever we are in difficulty, we call out the name of someone who is very dear to us. We immediately remember that person. So this youngest child was very dear to him. So he called out Narayana. He called out the name of his son. But Krishna, because he is always looking out for the opportunity to bring all the living entities back to him, back to the spiritual world. So immediately, his dutas, Vishnu dutas, four Vishnu dutas appeared on the scene. And they cut away the ropes with which the Yamdutas had tied Ajamil. And they finally sent them away. And Ajamil was given one more chance. And in which he reformed himself and ultimately went back to the spiritual world, to the abode of Krishna. So this is the power of Krishna's holy name when chanted even unknowingly. He didn't call out for Krishna. But Krishna is so merciful that because he's always looking for the opportunity to bestow his mercy upon us, he immediately sent his Vishnu Dutas. So one can only imagine, what will happen if we actually chant the name knowingly with love and affection. What results we'll get. Just by chanting unknowingly, he could be saved from the cycle of birth and death, from the Yamadutas. So if we chant knowingly with love and affection, as a gesture of gratefulness to Krishna, then immense benefits can be derived. The unlimited glories of the holy name cannot be understood with logic, reason or intellect. Only by faith, devotion and constant chanting can one realize the greatness of Sri Nama. In this dark age of Kali, Krishna Nama is the easiest, quickest, safest and surest way to attain spiritual perfection in love of God. So everyone is looking for the easiest way to attain perfection, quickest, that it should happen very, very fast, safest, that there should be no danger, and it should be the surest path to attain spiritual perfection. So this holy name is the way. In the matter of self-realization, Nam Japa is the king of all sadhanas. No other sadhana is required actually, if we can get attached to chanting the holy name. Chanting Krishna's sweet names purifies the heart, sanctifies and steadies the mind, destroys the six enemies, lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, madness, stops birth and death, dissolves sins, scorches samskars, annihilates attachment, induces detachment, uproots desires, empowers one, makes one fearless, removes illusion, bestows supreme peace, delivers prema to Krishna, reveals the Lord and His dhamma. So ultimately, how is Krishna's spiritual abode? That can also be realized by chanting this holy name. Shows one's swarupa, that one's what is one's actual relationship with Krishna, and engages one in his nitya seva, that is in the nitya seva of Krishna. The pious results derived from chanting the 1,000 holy names of Vishnu, that is Vishnu Sahasranam, 3 times can be attained by 1 repetition of the holy name of Krishna. That means chanting Krishna's 1 holy name is equal to 3 times chanting Vishnu's name. Because Krishna is this origin of Vishnu also. There are 3 Vishnus. By chanting the holy name, all your sinful reactions and material miseries will be cast far away. This world will become full of wonderful meaning for you. There will be no more fear and you will be immersed in the ocean of pure joy. Persons who in the past have committed every possible sin in every possible situation, but who now chant the holy name of the Lord, go to the supreme abode of Lord Vishnu. So whatever sins we might have committed, just by chanting the holy name, in any way, we get free from those sins. So here Krishna is saying, here it is mentioned in Brihan Naradiya Puran that, O Brahmans, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond the touch of the material senses, becomes very pleased with a person who, in spite of hunger, thirst, and many troubles, continues to always chant his holy name. All the great saintly persons had described that the best tirtha of all places of pilgrimage is the holy name of Krishna, which purifies the whole universe as soon as the name is chanted by anyone. Lord Hari has collected all the powers to remove sins and bring auspiciousness from charity, vows, austerities, pilgrimages, the demigods, the great saints, the Rajasuya and Ashwamedha Yajnas, and the study of transcendental knowledge, and place these powers in his holy names. That means all the benefits that one can derive from charity, vows, austerities, pilgrimages, the demigods, the great saints, the Rajasuya and Ashwamedha Yajnas, and the study of transcendental knowledge can be immediately derived just by chanting the holy names. We need not follow all the above-mentioned processes. Further, the chanting of Lord Hari's holy name cures all disease, removes all obstacles, and rescues one from all calamities. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, when someone desires to chant your holy name, sins tremble in fear. The glory of material illusion faints unconscious. Yamaraj's scribe Chitragupta becomes happy and gazes at the chanter's toenails with awe and reverence. And Lord Brahma prepares Madhupark to worship him. O Lord, what more can we say than this? This means that one who starts chanting Krishna's holy name, everyone, Lord Brahma, Shiva, all the demigods, Yamaraj, his followers, they all start worshipping that person. They actually start dancing in their own abodes when they see someone has started chanting Krishna's holy name. And finally, there is one more quote, that any Vaishnava who constantly chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which contains 16 names with 32 syllables, will certainly attain the abode of Krishna, that is Golok Vrindavan. So these are the glories of the holy name, which is the sacrifice recommended for Kali Yuga. And we mentioned in the beginning that sacrifice is in the mode of goodness, passion and ignorance. But either sacrifice is in the mode of goodness, passion or ignorance, it still binds us to the material world. It still doesn't help us come out of the cycle of birth and death. Therefore, we have to come to the stage of Shuddha Sattva, that is, we have to transcend these three modes. So when we take directly to Krishna consciousness and start chanting his holy name, we automatically, immediately transcend the three modes. So these three modes which are binding us, which are giving us trouble, they will no longer give us any kind of trouble, any sort of trouble. We will come free from the any problems that are created by either this mode of passion, ignorance or goodness. We'll ultimately reach the transcendental stage, the stage beyond these three modes, by the process recommended, this process of chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This is the only sacrifice for Kali Yuga, and just as we heard from these quotes from the various scriptures, that we can come to the conclusion that holy name is the essence and it is everything. Whoever wants to progress in bhakti, if he simply takes shelter of holy name, starts chanting Hare Krishna, then everything gradually is revealed to him. All the knowledge of the Vedas also, the essence of the Vedas, the essence of all the scriptures, is everything revealed. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions or comments if someone has? Thank you very much. We'll end here. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Shri Harinam Sankirtan ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.